Okay, Rabbosai, Simon Gimel. We're going to be learning a little bit more halachas on Hanogas Ha'odom, Bavoyke, Hanogas Beisakise. Siv Zayin is actually one of those halachas which are, at first glance, not relevant at all for us over here, and at second glance, very relevant to us over here. I don't know if there is a sefer out there yet. I don't know if there's a sefer out there yet about halachas of construction of a shul of a Beis HaMedrash. I don't know if there isn't, this is a really good idea. So, gentlemen, if you want to work on a bestseller, if you want to like think of it as a seller, so it's about the halachas of writing of the halachas all relevant to a shul and all that, and building a shul and everything. And if you were to write such a sefer, I think it could potentially be a bestseller. Then this is what you're going to write in there. So the halacha is as follows: Aboisa Hametil Ma'ayim Min Hatzofin V'Lifnim. Okay, this is apologies again. It may seem a bit I don't know if rude is the right word or whatever. It's these halachas, so we're going to learn halachas. Okay, so Hametil Ma'ayim Min Hatzofin V'Lifnim. This is somebody who is urinating. Hametil Ma'ayim Min Hatzofin V'Lifnim. It is in Yerushalayim, in the area of Min Hatzofin, which is what we call nowadays Haratzofim area. But if Nim Nishnais and Yom also talk about this, so there's the area, the outskirts of Yerushalayim, Haratzofim. So if you're from that point towards Yerushalayim, so Mokim Shecholim Lirois Misham Harabais, and these are all areas that from there you can see the Harabais. You'll know if you ever went to the Beis HaChaim, to Haratzofim, you went to the university there. You went to all those areas, which is some areas that are a little bit less comfortable than others because of the
neighbors.
Because of some, pardon?
The neighbors.
Yeah, because of the neighbors. So some are more, yeah. But either way, you have got the most beautiful views there if you ever attempted to go there. You've got the most stunning, beautiful views towards Harbais. You can see some stunning views. It's actually very, very nice. So if a person, you can see that a direct view, much better than from the Jewish areas. You can see that a beautiful view onto the Harbais area, onto the coastal. So you can, So now, if you're there, so the halacha is as follows: you can lo yeshev uponav klape kodesh. You may not urinate facing that direction if you are from Haratzofim onwards. Elo letzofon ledorim. Rather, what you got to do is you got to face the other direction. Or you salik a kodesh letzodin. Or you just face the other direction. So the point being is, if you are in the, what's the right word? There's a good word for that. In the area that you can see the Harbais. What's that called? Vicinity, is that what it is? In the vicinity of the Harbais, and you're within the area, and you've got a clear view towards the Harbais, and it's that kind of closeness, Harbais, you've got to face the other direction when you're relieving yourself. And so that's what halacha is. It's obviously because, as we learned yesterday, there is an element of shechina, and it's a bizarre, it's disrespectful. You're showing a level of disrespectful, and that's why it's to be avoided. The answer is yes, and that's why it says the salika kedush letzodin. It's got to be the opposite direction. Yeah. Now this would sound like a halacha, which is very well. It's very specific, and it would appear to be a halacha, which is very very relative to a geographic area. But the emes says it's not. It's not just halacha which is specific to Yerushalayim. Because what? Because we've got something which is called a Mikdash Me'at, which is, what's a Mikdash Me'at? A shul. A shul is also a Mikdash Me'at. So whilst in principle the halacha is talking about facing the Harbais, facing the coastal, facing the holier areas of Yerushalayim, the same also applies, according to the Bialocha, also with regards to a shul. So, if a person is in a shul, it's got to be built in a way also that the Beis HaKiseis are not facing Mizrach, or facing the Ohr HaKodesh. which is something what has to be really, really aware, who really has to be aware. I always wonder, you know, what people who are building the gaboim and the responsible and the committees and the, when they are building, so this is only one of the many halachas. It's one very blatant halacha, one very important halacha, but it's other halachas that one has to be very, very aware of when one is building a shul and a beis medrash. And this is really important. So the beis hakis has to be placed and designed in a way that it's not facing the... It makes so much sense when we think about it. You don't want to be facing the, you know, the mikdash me'atz, the Aron HaKodesh. The disclaimer to this halacha is that... what is he really talking about? Let's see if he can... there is a clear disclaimer, which is actually very important as well. What's the disclaimer? What is he talking about over here? And we spoke about that at the last show, the year before. What scenario is he talking about over here? When we're talking about... Exactly, that's it. So really what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is a case that somebody's out in the fields. Really talking about in the fields. So there, it's really important to know the direction and how one really was there. If there is, if this would be in an area where there is mechitzas, if it's in an outhouse, if it's in an area which is mechitzas, then the halachas wouldn't be so, then it's not so crucial, then a person doesn't have to be as careful as that. Still, it's good to be careful, but don't be that careful. So what does that mean in terms of our shuls?
Well, there's walls.
If there's walls, then it's probably better as well. It's not so posh, though. It's not so posh, because it depends a little bit on the... On the walls. If it is one wall, then it's not so posher. The Bialoch is not so happy with it. If it's a number of walls, then it's probably better. But either way, it's something one has to be certainly aware of when one builds a shul. Okay, Rabbi said, we carry on. We're on top of page 14. Shenif never saw there. If a person is excusing himself in the field, if it's behind a fence, if on a miyad, should we leave himself immediately? But viko yisrach, again, mokum shiru chalirois, if in a person is not behind a, if a person is in a slightly less remote area, in a slightly more, I can't say public area, but in a slightly more open, a slightly more public area, then one has to distance oneself until there's really, really no signs. This is more health related halachas. A person shouldn't sit very quickly with strength. He may hurt himself. Shouldn't be. I don't think aggressively is the right word, but a person shouldn't. What's the right word? Shouldn't relieve himself with force. For health reasons, the person has to look after his body and do this carefully. The next halacha, Rabbi Isai, is a widely discussed halacha. A person should not clean himself with the yad yamin, with the right hand. Why not? Why not with the right hand? Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Yud Zayin says, "Piyad yamin nishikosha but tefillin al zrias asmoili." Person shouldn't clean himself with his right hand because the person uses his right hand. Person shouldn't use his right hand because the right hand is the hand they're using for tying your tefillin. This is a din of the Gemara. A din of the Gemara, person shouldn't be using his right hand. There's other reasons as well. The Gemara discusses there that Gemara also says that Yemin HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Yad Yemin, and therefore a person should be careful not to use the right hand. The middle finger, because that's what you use. The middle finger is what is being used for tying the tefillin. Now the Mishnah will discuss over here. Of course, we're achronim the itiyad with a left-handed person. She calls Yinovay Se Bismol, that does everything with his left hand. Bekanach Bismol, Bismol today, he shouldn't be using the left hand because he's using left hand for tying the tefillin. Therefore, he should use the right hand. If he uses for writing one hand and for all the other melachas the other hand, so he's a bit of a bit of a mix of the right hand, the left hand. Some use for the right hand the writing and the left hand for other melachas. That becomes really more complex. And the bialacha over here spends a great amount of time and a long bialacha discussing what happens in such a scenario. All the exceptional circumstances. Right and left hand. What does she be using in the beis hakis? Now,
quite interesting. You're saying you're tightening talking about using the example of the tefillin.
Yeah.
But the actual tefillin at the end of the day is on the left hand.
Yeah, it's on the arm, not on the hand. Tefillin is on the zroya, on the hand.
Yeah,
yeah. I know, but you might say using your right hand. It's inappropriate to use your right hand. Now, the poskim, and that's only the very recent poskim, questioned this halacha. And they say, well, it's medina de gemara that one shouldn't be using one's right hand. It's a dina de gemara, and there's no chalkim on that. Nobody disagrees on that. There is, however, one point that the mafashim point out, which is in terms of what was used there. We're going to see the nowadays we've got other means of cleaning on Sefer. There wasn't there was no toilet paper in those days, and therefore there is an argument to say that the halacha is perhaps a bit more lenient. Not everybody agrees with that, but there is an approach. Some poets can say that one doesn't have to be so careful because of that difference. It's not something which is clear cut. There's not many mafarshim who actually allow it with confidence, but it is certainly chilek that can be a distinction that can be made. I'm going to skip Yud Beis is perhaps important. If one of it sneers by lalek my b'yom, person should be careful. Sneers by day and by night. So whether one is excused by night or by day, the same halachas apply. One should be careful. Everything was discussed so far should also apply by night as well. I want to now skip a few halachas and go straight to see if Yud Zayin, which is very important. I think somebody mentioned it the other night. And that's the following really important halacha, which is Sif Yud Zayin, which is as follows. Hamash Nekovov, somebody who stops himself, who holds himself back, Oiva, he's transgressing Mishum Baltashaktsu. There's an Issa Deraisa, perhaps, of Baltashaktsu, of holding oneself back. Shikutz really means, I don't know what the correct translation is. Abomination, yeah. So there is a Baal Teshaktsu has various applications, and one application is also that a person mustn't stop himself from going. If he has the needs, the urge to go, he must do so. The ramifications of this halacha is discussed in Sifkot Lamed Aleph and Mishnah Berurah, which is the third white line. Baal Teshaktsu. Imashes Atzma Lektanim, if it's for urinating, Oiv Mishum Baal Teshaktsu is Oivon Baal Teshaktsu Mishum Lo Yeokar. Additionally, also another Issa of Lo Yeokar. So it is too potentially surim by holding myself back. Now what it does say over here is nitchem ipnei kovad abrias. There is at times occasions which we've come across in the tefillah other areas as well that a person that it's doiche kovad abrias. So if by holding himself back he's protecting his honor, and because there's no opportunity, no way, there's no opportunity for him to be excused. And he can't. And the only way he can protect his dignity is by holding himself back. In such an instance, it's fine to do so. You're allowed to protect your honor. Kovad abrias is doicha drabonon. So if at times you feel, well, I just can't go out now, especially in those days where there was no, if there's no way of going, then your person is fine. Is allowed to hold himself back. An example would be if there's no private place, no tzonudiga place, no hidden place where he can be excused at this present stage, at this present place, then he's allowed to hold himself back until he finds a place where it's more appropriate for him to go out. But what is important to point out is that there is an issa about the shaktsu. And that's besides the isurim of perhaps making a person's tefillah to'eva. If a person has the urge of going out and he's not going out, there potentially be a problem of, besides Baal Teshaktsu, there's a problem also of making his tefillah to'eva, which is a problem in its own right. And a person at times is not even mekayim the mitzvah tefillah, he may be thinking he's davening, he may be trying to daven, he may be davening, but he's not really yotze tefillah, because he has to be excused, and therefore his tefillah is not your mitzvah tefillah. These are the halachas with regards to Beis HaKisei and Baal Teshaktsu, etc. We're ready now for Siman Dalet. Dini Netilas Yadayim. Okay, we had a touch of that, a little bit of a start on this, a little bit in Siman Aleph Mishnah Berurah's book about Negel Vasa. Negel Vasa is only one little ruach ro, is one aspect of the halachas of washing one's hand. There is really two other really important reasons why one has to wash hands when one wakes up. And both reasons are very different, and both reasons are really important, and the nafkamin and halacha of both reasons are very important. We want to see why is it that a person has to wash hands when he wakes up, and what about the bracha, and when is the right time to make the bracha of washing hands. Many people do the brachas at many different times. When is the right time to... Is it that you wash hands, nigel vasa, and that's when you make the bracha when tilas yadayim? Or is it that you only say it later when you start davening, which may be a long time after washing your hands? Or perhaps to wash nigel vasa and then wash hands again, and then you make the bracha. What is the right way of doing of going about this? This is a bracha, this is a mitzvah. How do we do this? Yechatz yodav, a person who washes his hands, should wash his hands. Ve'yevorich, and he makes the bracha of al netilas yodoyim. Okay, so far, so good. Ve'agov yesh oim, the Ramah says, yesh oim gam ashayotza, some also say the bracha v'ashayotza, ve'afilu lo yosa tzrochov, even if he didn't have to be excused, ve'chenu agun, that is the minhag. The next part of this very first seif is about the waters which are fine to be used. So he's going to tell us which waters are fine to use. You know, can you use...
What did you say before, the mechaber?
Yes. So we want to know the which waters are acceptable to be used and which waters are not acceptable to use. That will be discussed at a later stage in Yetzah Hashem. But for now, let's just understand the background of this mitzvah, of the brach of Netilas Yadayim. Why do we wash hands in the morning? Why do we do so? Why do we wash hands? Yechatz Yadav B'Mishtibur V'Yeh brings a beautiful introduction to this whole sugya. Sefkot Nalev, Yechatz Yadav, Yesh Al Zeh Shnei Ta'omim. There is two reasons why we wash our hands. Why do we? Aleph, HaRosh Kasav, the Rosh writes, Shelefisha Daim Shel Odom Asconius Heim, the hand of a person is Asconius. They are busy. They are free moving. They are... What's the word? Pun?
Busy.
They're busy, yeah, that's it, they're busy. V.F. Shah, it's impossible, inevitable. Shaluiga b'voso hamatunov b'laylo. It's inevitable that the hands of a person must have touched uncovered areas of our bodies during the night. We're not in full control of our hands by night because of our level of consciousness. And inevitably, our hands may have touched, must have touched, probably touched, uncovered parts of our body. And therefore, Chachamim established bracha l'netila l'kira shema v'tefila. Therefore, it's only appropriate that we wash our hands, because you've got to assume that you touch parts of your body which are not clean. So, uncovered parts of our body, our hands are probably not clean when we wake up. Therefore, Chachamim said, yes, you're going to daven now. Yes, you're going to say shema now. Do so by all means, but wash your hands before that. And for this takana that Chachamim established, they said, not only wash your hands, but also make a bracha with it. That's reason number one. What's the second reason? Very different concept. When we wake up, that's a very inspirational hashkafic, yeah, inspirational svara. Rashba says, in the morning when we wake up, we're like a berich chadosha. We're like a fresh newborn, freshly... Dekziv chadoshim lefkorim rabo imunosecho. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebronu Lichvoid has created us for His honor, L'shosu to serve Him, L'vorech Shmoin to thank His name. V'al zeh dovo tiknu b'shach HaKadosh Baruch Hu shenu v'vorechin kol boiker. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us the new chance, new opportunity, fresh day, fresh koiches, fresh energy, fresh chance in the morning, wake up after night sleep of lacking, losing many levels of consciousness and awareness, we wake up in the morning, and when I say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much. This comes with many brachas, and comes with the bracha of Netilas Yadayim. And the comparison to that is, just like, is pardon? Oh, so one sec. The Mishnah Berurah says over here, this is very similar. Lachen gal the particular is liskadosh b'kedushos avilito ledinu min akli kekoyin shemekadosh yodu min akli kekoyin mavodosu. Very similar to the Kohen Gadol. Just like the Kohen Gadol also in the Mikdash, he washed his hands by the key oil. So to us also, because like the avoider of the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, we are also proceeding now to our avoider, which is not in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's in our day-to-day lives, at home, at work, wherever you may be positioned to do avoider Hashem, wherever you may be, whatever you do is avoider Hashem. What a beautiful, inspirational thought. You are about to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, we are also about to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever we may be. And he had to wash his hands in preparation for his avodah. So to us also, we've got to wash our hands in preparation for our avodah. And therefore, it's very similar to the Kohen. Now, very different. So we've got two very different ideas, backgrounds, thoughts, why we need to wash our hands in the morning. Either it's about touching uncovered parts of our body, and that requires washing hands in the morning, or nothing to do with it. It's just a fresh morning, fresh energy, fresh koiches. Like the Kohen Gadol, he washed hands, so we too also wash hands. The difference is, what's similar about it is that they both are reasons why we want to wash our hands in the morning. But the nafkaminis between both reasons are enormous, enormous. What kind of bracha it is, when you make the bracha, how you make the bracha, there's many differences l'alocha. And how do we exactly pasken, all that will be discussed over the next few sefirim. This is just an intro.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
I thought it had to do with Tumah Tara with you in the morning. Like, Tara or Tumah.
Yeah, very good. I'm so pleased that you're mentioning this point, because this is really what you're mentioning is a very frequent and common misconception, because you are right. There's also a concept of the Ruach Ra, which is on the hands of a person. This is true. This concept exists. However, this is not the reason why Chachamim established the takana, the rabbinical obligation for us to wash hands and make a bracha. There's many other instances, and why a person should be washing hands because of Ruach Ra. What's another reason why we have Ruach Ra, for instance? Your haircut is a good example. Going to the Beis HaKvaros. There are many other scenarios where a person has got Ruach Ra on his hands and he's got to remove them by washing hands. But there, a person doesn't make a bracha. So it is true, there's also the whole concept of Tumah Tahara, of not really Tumah Tahara, it's more precisely, it's about Ruach Ra, which is on a person's hands, which exists, and it's true, and it's correct. And that's why we do wash negelwasser indeed, but in terms of the bracha, has nothing to do with it. That's a different concept. And we will let Mitzvah get clarity in your very interesting point, as well as the two reasons why the Rosh and Rashba, that will be discussed in Mitzvah over the next few sefim. The negelwasser? Well, you're doing it for both reasons. But we're going to get to that. The question is about the bracha. We'll get to that. We'll get clarity in that, Mitzvah. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, to summarize what we learned this evening, we discussed, what did we discuss? We discussed about the, we started off about, if a person lives in Yerushalayim area, to ensure the direction is not towards the Kodesh, towards the Beis HaMikdash. We said, the Bialocha says, this also applies, not only in Yerushalayim, but also Schultz. We spoke about, just face the other direction. We spoke about the health related, the way a person is meant to be excused to look after one's body. We spoke about the Aloch and Shulchan Aruch, not to be mekaneach with Yad, you may not use one's right hand. We discussed contemporary poskim, may differentiating it. It's, by the way, it's not brought down in Mishneh Berurah. We also spoke about the Issa, the Rabbonon of Bal Teshaktsu. We spoke about it's pushed away for the concept of Kavod Abrius. Then we started the introductory discussion of Dine Letilas Sudaim. We said there is a takana of washing hands, and equally in line with that, Chachamim also established a bracha which has to be recited on Netilas Sudaim. And we said there's a machloek, a very important machloek as a shoinim, why there is a bracha on Netilas Yadayim. It's either because of Nikias, touching one's parts of body, or because of Bir Chadosha, which is connected to the Kohen Gadol. Very good. These are the lochs for this evening. More on that, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow evening. Same time, same place.